Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me as always are Ben and Cam. This week we did The Muppet Christmas Carol, directed by Brian Henson from 1992. To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. Benjamin, what do you have for us?
I went with a cocktail aptly called the Red Christmas Cocktail because it's red. So it's got a lot of ingredients. I'll go ahead and let Dylan put the breakdown in the show description below. But it's gin, cranberry juice, lime juice, orange juice, maple syrup or simple syrup. I guess you could use either one. And then an optional little bit of soda water or like a seltzer to top it. I did do the seltzer to top. I don't know why, it just makes things easier to drink for me. It tasted like a little, not like alcohol strong, but just very, I guess maybe all the acidity from all of the fruit. So I put a little bit of soda in there. And then you can garnish it however you want. Lime, cranberries. This says a rosemary sprig. Your boy's not that fancy. So
you don't keep rosemary at home, Ben?
No. If I need rosemary, I go to Scarborough Fair.
And get some sage and thyme.
And thyme, yep, exactly. Yep. And then I listen to that song, but only the first 20 seconds for about 90% of a movie. Shout out to you, The Graduate.
Are you going to Scar? Well, check the show notes below. Get the recipe to make yourself a red Christmas cocktail. Hit up the Drizzling Casker links. Get some alcohol delivered directly to your door. You can check out The Muppet Christmas Carol on Disney Plus as of recording. I don't think any of us had seen this before, had we?
No.
I don't know if it's surprising.
It's a little surprising. I mean, it came out a couple of years before we were born, but I don't know. I am fairly familiar with The Muppets. I had watched a fair amount of it when I was a kid.
I hadn't really that I can remember. Like, I know, like, I feel like Muppets is so permeated pop culture that I know, like, most of them. Plus, you know, like, I've been to Disney quite a few times, so there's, like, the Muppets ride there, which I really enjoyed. But I've only heard good things of, like, the Muppet movies. There's, like, the Christmas Carol. There was a recent one that did pretty well, too, I think, with...
There are a couple recent ones. There's the one with Ricky Gervais and stuff, and then there's the one before that with...
Wasn't Jason Segel in one? Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he just do it not long ago?
Yeah.
Not long ago is probably 10 years ago.
No, it's not really.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I was in high school when the Jason Segel one came out.
I thought that was the latest one.
No.
Oh, no, it is. It's 11 years ago.
Wow.
Amy Adams and Jason Segel. Yeah,
told you. Because that other one came out, that was with Ricky Gervais and the guy from Modern Family. And who was the third person?
Ricky Gervais, Ty Burrell, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. And that was in, like, what, 2016, I want to say?
2014.
Okay. So, that one's old, too. That one's 8 years old.
But, like, I don't know. It's weird because it's, like, yeah, I don't remember watching any Muppets, really. But, like, I know them all for some reason. And, like, maybe that's just because they've permeated pop culture so much. But it's, like, I know, like, fucking Animal. I know Fozzie, like... Literally all of like Beaker, Gonzo, you know, you're like, yeah. Why does this have space in my head? You know,
I remember the Muppet Babies as a kid.
What?
I remember the Muppet Babies. It was like a cartoon.
Oh, I don't remember.
That was on when we were kids. I had a Muppet Babies blanket. I remember.
Interesting.
But it was like a baby blanket. So it must have been like the early to mid 90s.
Yeah, we saw some of like the older, or a lot of like the older ones. Like we had like a DVD that had a lot of the old like classic shows on it that we would watch with like all the different like older sketches.
Cam, big Muppets boy grown up.
I mean, I wouldn't say big, but like, I mean, I would say that, like, I don't know. I at least, like, we watched some of it. Like, it's not like I'm sure I watched more Sesame Street as a really little kid, but I remember the Muppets a lot more.
Yeah. I don't remember watching any of like the actual movies. Like, I'm looking at what they like the breakdown of them, and I don't think I've seen them.
I don't know if I've seen them or seen them in a really long time. I don't remember seeing any of them.
I've
probably seen like the Manhattan one, maybe.
I don't think I've seen any of them. I mean, it doesn't shock me. We were not like I don't remember growing up being big Muppets. I don't remember watching a lot of like Sesame Street. I think most of the Sesame Street I saw might have been like in preschool or like I remember watching it in like a classroom, but I don't remember watching it like at home.
You were watching 60s Batman?
Damn right. Batman the Animated. Well, probably more Batman the Animated Series at that point.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't watch 60s Batman anywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to see this Muppet Treasure Island one now because it has Tim Curry in it.
Oh.
As Long Man. John Silver. So The Muppet Christmas Carol is a 1992 Muppet film. It's a comedy, drama, family film. The Muppets present their own touching rendition of Charles Dickens' classic tale. Currently sits at a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It is directed by Brian Henson, who I believe is Jim Henson's son.
Yes, Brian Henson is Jim Henson's son. This was the first major Muppets project after Jim Henson's death in 19... He died young. He died at like 54.
Hmm.
So, and then I think, from what I remember, Brian and his sister run the Henson Production Company now, I think.
It stars Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge. And then
a bunch of puppeteers.
I was gonna say, for the most part, literally everyone else is the usual suspects.
Right, like Frank Oz, the big one.
Dave Goles, who voices like Gonzo. Steve Whitmire does Rizzo the Rat. Frank Oz is Miss Piggy.
The big deal was Kermit, because I mean Jim Henson did Kermit for I think forever, and then this is like the first major thing that he was.
Who voiced Kermit?
I don't know.
Sam.
I don't see it on the.
I was trying to look at it, and I didn't really see the. Yeah, I know. I have to dig into the actual.
Steve Whitmire.
Oh, okay.
He did Bean the Bunny, Kermit the Frog, Rizzo the Rat, Beaker. Everyone's like seen A Christmas Carol or like knows the story, right?
We all watched Scrooge last year, so
that's true. Okay.
Unfortunately,
yeah. Okay, because it's interesting. Like this must be like I don't know when Christmas Carol was written, but like it must be way
out of a long ass time ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say it must be way out of like copyright into public domain because like there's 100 iterations. Like even this year, that Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell movie that just came out is literally A Christmas Carol, like variation.
So, well, 1843.
I was gonna say, let's put it this way: Charles Dickens died in 1870, so we're well.
Yes,
A Christmas Carol was published December 19th, 2 days ago, 179 years ago.
What is also, copyright laws are like the author's death plus 90
Disney
years
keeps
or
extending
right?
it every because
I would Disney say keeps lobbying, Disney keeps lobbying to extend. So like
because Walt Disney died.
Well, yes, but also because if Mickey Mouse or any of their like main properties were to go into public domain, they'd be screwed. But it's not
about they be,
it's yeah, not just them either because like Warner Brothers like slash DC now does the same thing because if like Superman were to go into public domain, they basically then have no
like there's that Winnie the Pooh like horror movie coming out at some point.
Yes, but so interestingly they had to make that different enough from the Winnie the Pooh cartoon, because the Winnie the Pooh cartoon version is still under copyright.
Interesting. So they could use the original character.
Yes, they could use the original book character from Milne, but they couldn't use the cartoon character. So they had to differentiate it, like, enough from the cartoon. And I think there were some of the characters that were created in the cartoon that they couldn't use. Or that Disney, I guess, added.
Okay.
That Disney added to the whatever that they couldn't use. Yeah, I actually, I saw something about that and I read about it. It was kind of interesting. Where, like, the guy who made the movie was like, oh, it's going to be much different. It's going to be more than different enough that Disney can't, like, Disney can't file a lawsuit.
Yeah, I guess what it's basically says is, it's like, so Christopher Robin was, like, you know, he's a real person. So that was never, like, under the public domain. But then I guess Winnie the Pooh technically just went under public domain. But it can't be like what Ben was saying. It can't be like the cartoon. So he can't have his red shirt or anything like that.
It's
so it's the character from the books that are public domain, right, but not like the Disney.
Yes.
So, yeah, and obviously this is old enough to be out of that, I think. Personally, I think this is one of the better renditions I've seen, if not the best rendition of Christmas Carol. I feel like every time I see a Christmas Carol type movie, it's fucking boring. And I really liked this movie. I was really entertained. And it's a tight hour 30 for this thing.
I was going to say.
Which some Christmas Carol movies run really
long. I think that's the hurdle most of them don't clear. Is like, everyone knows the story. So get in. Tell the story, get out. And I feel like a lot of the times it's like, oh, let's add all of these extra wrinkles and we'll make it a 2-hour movie. No, I don't want that. Get in, tell me the story that I already know, get out.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzo's like, yeah, I know the story. He's like, oh, do you now? He's like, yeah, like the back of my hand. And it's like just telling the whole story the whole time.
Well, and the, God, it's just, there's so many parts like that where, like, you can clearly tell this is, like, I mean, I'm sure a kid would understand that joke, but there are kid and adult things, which is one of the things I really do like about the Muppets, mm-hmm. is, it is a kid thing, for sure, but there's just so much that they do well that also, like, makes it entertaining for adults, even if it's not, like, exact adult humor, like, adults can still find it.
Or there's, like, yeah, like the humor, I feel like the humor kind of like leans a little bit more adult most of the time. Like the jokes are a little smarter sometimes.
Yeah.
But there is like definitely a lot of like, obviously the puppets are for the kids and there is like a very like family element to it.
Yeah.
And even like a lot of the elements like the musicals, the like the more physical kind of humor, I feel like is a lot more for like the kids. But then, like, you know, some of the wordplay and the jokes that happen are, it's always, like, kind of, like, just makes you, like, chortle a little bit.
Yeah. Like, the old hecklers are legitimately funny. Like, all their heckles are funny.
God, when they were at that party and friggin' Fozzie started to talk, I was like, oh, God, they're about to just be annoying, aren't they?
Rip on him. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see them include some of their own tropes into the movie.
Yeah, because that was like one of the things. Like, Cam, when you went to Disney, you went to the Hollywood Studios since it's where Star Wars is, right? Did you ride the Muppets ride?
I don't think so.
Okay, so in Disney, there's a whole like Muppets ride that is basically like they're like testing the 3D show or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so you like go in and you put on these glasses and there's like a whole 3D show where like you know, the old hecklers are up in the balcony, like, razzing on everybody that's on stage. It's cool to, like, that is what I know of the Muppets.
Yeah.
To then watch this and be like, all right, like, for the first 15 minutes, I was like, where's Kermit? When's he going to show up? And then he's, Bob Cratchit. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's interesting because unlike other movies, this is like one of the only ones where he's not the main character.
Yeah.
Where Kermit is not the main character. A lot of times he is.
Yeah, I feel like he would be if they went full like into just all Muppets. but like since Michael like they Kine. Did yeah they did like the human interacting with the Muppets thing that they do
yeah
in their movies, it really like he had to go to the side and it was all Michael Caine,
which props to Michael Caine for being able to play this as like, I'm gonna use the word theatrically, but in the sense of like he plays it very Shakespearean or very like stage actor-esque, and like he does it straight the entire time. Like there's no tongue-in-cheek from him in terms of this being like, oh, I'm acting with puppets, so you know I have to be this funny and you know goofy. It's like, no, he plays it as if he were doing it like on Broadway.
Yeah, he wanted to do it, but also he told them, he said I'm gonna play it straight like Shakespearean, not gonna wink or do any Muppety things, but I'm gonna play it serious. And they were like, all right. And then that's what we got.
Yeah,
which is so funny in contrast with like with all the puppets around him, because yeah, I mean, like you said, he plays it straight the whole time and acts like he's in a very dramatic telling of this, which I think just adds to it all, you know, like just adds to the rest of this. Like it makes the story still good, but even though like there's a lot of silly parts about it.
And I will say, like watching this movie, it's kind of mind blowing the way that like sometimes when the camera like pans down off the buildings and there's like 50 puppets.
Yeah.
Or 30 puppets. I'm like, how did they do all this?
Yeah, just having all the puppets there and like having it be kind of seamless. Like, to be honest, I feel like at some point you kind of forget they're puppets.
Yeah.
Like you kind of forget that like these are all just like people, like puppeteers, like making these all, like they just do a really good job at making them feel alive.
Or even
I'm watching it behind you.
I was gonna say, even some of them, like there's the scene that was just on a second ago that I was kind of like, how did they do this? I'm wondering if it's an animatronic or something, but basically they like Kermit picks up a stack of books with a rat on it and then he moves it over. You clearly see like most of the books stack and then he places it down and then the rat starts moving. And I'm like, how did they just pull that off? Like,
yeah.
So it's like, I mean, that to me was like the fun part of watching this, is I was like, how the hell are they doing some of this sometimes?
Yeah.
Cam, you already kind of talked to this, but you said it was like your favorite rendition of the Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, we've all seen many over the years. This is a billion times better than Scrooged. That movie kind of sucked. I can't think of a ton off the top of my head, but I mean, everybody's seen them, right? Like they're renditions in TV, movies, other media, you know, in various forms. And so
I feel like
I think this is one of the better ones.
Any movie any television show that runs long enough does like a Christmas Carol rendition, yeah. I feel like. I'm sure
Simpsons has one.
Look, all right. TV writers get bored too. They need to take vacations.
Right. They're like, all right, we're gonna do a Christmas
Shit, guys,
Carol
holiday play. Season's coming up. You know what? Can we just do the Christmas Carol and we can kind of call it a day? Yeah, okay.
But we need two episodes. All right, fine. We'll do a clip show, then we'll do the Christmas Carol, and then we'll leave.
We'll do another clip show. Everyone loves it.
I would probably say it's also my favorite rendition because it has that like humor element and it kind of plays it like fun, but not trying to be too corny about it. Like I feel like some movies try to like, they're like, okay, here's the Christmas Carol tale, but I'm going to be like really lean into like humor and like, we can joke about it and stuff. And then they're like, okay, all right. But this one, I feel like still has some of the serious elements. Like, I feel like once the ghosts come in, especially the ghost of the past, there's really
that ghost
no
of the past is spooky.
Yeah. Then there was really
was
no
like what the
humor
hell is that?
That
wait, you said
well,
the,
yeah,
the
I mean,
one of the past
she came on screen.
Okay. Yeah. That was Uncanny Valley. Like, they tried to make her look too human, and it looked just fucking creepy.
She was the creepiest thing in the entire movie. I was like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this ghost?
Yeah, I was like,
this
what
is
the
scary
fuck? It kind of looks like it was like a fucking baby doll.
It seemed like it was not supposed to be scary though. Like, I don't think the intention was to be scary, but it was a really freaky looking thing.
Yeah, it's like those. You ever been into like a Home Goods during Christmas time? They have these like tiny rat looking things that like kind of have human faces. They're like really fucking creepy. it's very equivalent to that.
That's a weird thing that they have every year.
They have it for every season, let me tell you.
But yeah, I mean, I like how they can tell the Christmas Carol story, but also keep it entertaining throughout. Like, they have, and that they incorporated, like, they in this script or whatever, they incorporated a lot of the original book. Like, they, I think they, like, directly quote it in a lot of places, too. Like, especially with Charles Dickens, or, you know, narrating it. You know, through Gonzo.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought that was cool. And then having that interlaced with, like, the Muppet shenanigans.
It's funny because I don't know. Maybe when it's, like, a third-person, somewhat omnipotent narrator, it doesn't affect me as much. But, like, you know, we've kind of talked about, like, A Christmas Story over the past 2 weeks, A Christmas Story. And I just watched Polar Express the other day, and like, I don't like the first person narrators for some reason. Something about it, especially just in a Christmas movie, I'm just I don't know why. But then I don't have a problem with like
third person narration. Yeah. What about second person narration?
You go into the door.
Yeah.
You. I don't really have that problem that often because no one does that, but. That was you ever seen the Netflix series You?
No, but they do that, right?
Well, that was the reason I read the book, and that was the reason that like drew me to the book was like it was in second person perspective. So I was like, all right, interesting. Let me read this book, and it's kind of fucking creepy just purely based on that like second person perspective, because it's literally all, you know, you walk into the door. You do this, you do that, and I'm like,
do I? Am I? Are you sure?
I'm looking up best Christmas Carol adaptations.
The one I remember that always played on Cartoon Network as a kid growing up, I think it was Mr. Magoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mr. Magoo's A Christmas Carol? That's the one that, like, sticks out in my head immediately. And then I know...
Oof. That's...
Scooby-Doo had a Christmas episode, but it wasn't, like, plotted after A Christmas Carol, but the play that the, like, orphanage or whatever is doing is A Christmas Carol. That's one I always remember.
Ew, they have... Sci-Fi has Scrooge.
If I had to... I don't know if I could pick, like, a favorite. I feel like some of the ones that I've enjoyed the most have been, like, literally watching it as a play. I know I've seen it as a play a couple times, like, as a kid, and I always thought that was really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Collider article, and they also have
Sci-Fi has Muppet 5, at 2.
And they have the Muppets at 8.
They got that right. And then it looks like they put 1951 A Christmas Carol at 1. Which, fine.
There's this Christmas Carol the movie from 2001. It had Kate Winslet as Belle. It had Nicolas Cage as Marley. Simon Cowell played Scrooge.
It feels like it would be bad.
Oh! Oh, man!
I've never heard of that. I've never seen that.
You're going to be visited by three ghosts!
Thank you.
That was Nicolas Cage.
No, it was pretty good. I guess Robert Zemeckis did A Christmas Carol in that like creepy animation style of the Polar Express.
Wow, it was a 1901 version.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't they do one with like Jim Carrey was Scrooge?
Yeah, that's the one.
The Collider article also has the 1951 Christmas Carol on there
as number one.
Yeah,
I don't like that animation style from like Polar Express.
No, I don't like it either.
This Christmas Carol, it's like that. You remember that Beowulf movie?
Yeah, that was bad.
It's like that too, where it's Scanner Darkly.
Yeah, but it's a little more cartoonish, but still.
Yeah,
too
like the
creepy.
The eyes are almost soulless, especially in like Polar Express.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. It's like where you're like, it's almost motion captured.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what they call it. I know, like, the reason people don't like it is the whole Uncanny Valley thing, but...
See, I'm reading this Collider article.
Yeah, it's almost like a 3D version of rotoscoping. Oh, that is what
it is. It's like roto motion capture.
Oh.
Yeah, hooray for an animation degree. Woo!
This Collider article is BS. Every other site I've seen is like, Michael Caine is amazing in this movie. He's so good. And this person's... I feel like this person just wrote this article for clicks, but... he was surprised to find that he seemed to walk through the role at times. It's Caine's sometimes flat performance as Scrooge that keeps this version from climbing higher on the list. Hard disagree. Especially, like, I feel like Scrooged... Maybe this person is just very nostalgic. I feel like Scrooge is not a good movie. Like, it's a different take on the whole thing, but I feel like it's not very good.
Hold on. Let me look and see what we put last year.
I think Scrooge is, I mean, it is what it is. It's a Bill Murray comedy movie that is a Christmas movie that they just adapted A Christmas Carol. What you expect is what it is. I don't remember disliking it.
I remember feeling very middle of the road on it.
You're going to get Bill Murray being a dick.
And then Bill Murray doing some of his, like, sarcastic ass comedy. And then some of his, like, I don't want to say physical, because he's not, like, a super physical comedian. But he does do some, like, more slight physical comedy. And then you're going to get Bill Murray trying to be a good person, but also still being an asshole about it.
So, Scrooged, Ben gave it a 6, Cam gave it a 4, I gave it a 5.
Yeah.
And Zach gave it a 6, so.
Sounds about right.
What were some of your guys' if you have any, like, memorable or favorite moments from the film, what were those for you guys? I did like the really stupid joke of, like, Rizzo and Gonzo, like, climbing the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I hate heights. And then he, like, jumps down, he misses catching him. But then he's like, oh, I forgot something over there. So he literally climbs back under those things.
Goes through the thing. He's like, wait, you could go into that this whole time?
Yeah, he's like, you're such an idiot.
Yeah, some of their bits were really good. Like, you mentioned the one at the early beginning. He's like, yeah, I know this like the back of my hand. And he's like, oh, all right, then show me. And he's like, yeah, well, here's where I got my scar. And then here's something else. He's like, no, not your hand. Like, oh, the story. Yeah. Okay.
Like when the... Ghost of Christmas Future comes, and they're like, oh, this is kind of scary. Should we be worried about the kids in the audience? And like, nah, that's all right. This is culture. But then they leave for that whole bit and then, like, come back later.
Yeah, like, this is too scary.
Oh, the Ghost of Christmas Future was legit kind of spooky. Yeah.
It was like the sheets.
Like, Ghost of Christmas Past was, like, creepy. Was, like, creepy in, like, the way that's just made me uncomfortable. The Ghost of Christmas Future, I was like, man, as a little kid, like, I would find this kind of frightening. Like, this would be nightmare fuel for me.
God. I forget what I think he's, like, Scrooge's, like, mentor in school, Sam the Eagle. And he's like, tomorrow you become a man of business. I'm looking forward to it. Headmaster. You will love business. It is the American way. Yeah. And then, like, Gonzo's like, no, 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 it takes place in England. He's like, oh, it's the British
that
way.
That was funny.
Ben, I feel like you loved the, we just want one more thing of coal to make it through the days. They're like, yeah, we can't do our bookkeeping because all our pens have turned into ink sickles.
That entire part
just
was
just a funny. Shitty pun.
Like, all the rats would, like, back up Kermit, and then when Scrooge went against him, the rats would turn on Kermit.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, oh, you know,
immediately
Christmas Day, can we have some of it off? How much time? All of it. The rats are like, yeah, it's a good idea. Scrooge, nah, I don't know about that. Rats, why would you say that? We didn't say that.
Or yeah, he like threatens them after they ask for the coal to like, he's like, how would you feel unemployed? And they're just like, it's my island and the sun. They're like, oh.
Heat wave.
Yeah. So stupid. Or all the talking vegetables throughout.
Yeah.
It's just, So ridiculous. Help me, I'm being stolen. Help me. And then, like, Rizzo even talks about it, I think, at one time when he's like, my mom told me not to eat talking food or something like that.
Yeah, it was with the Swedish chef at the Fosvig party.
Yeah, the friggin' Beaker, too, just popping up and talking to people as they're supposed to know what he's supposed to say.
Oh, my God. Beaker's really just like, he's like the dude from King of the Hill.
The guy that, like, talks in gibberish?
Yeah, Boomhauer.
You think I'll talk about that dingle Boomhauer man?
Yeah.
Yo.
Everyone's like, yeah, totally, uh-huh. And, like, understands him, but you're just like, what the fuck is that guy saying?
I always love in that show when finally, like, you hear Boomhauer say something normally, where, like, yeah, the general audience understands, and then you just hear everyone in the show be like, Boomhauer, I can't understand you. Like, there's one episode where they're stuck in a cave, and Boomhauer yells down through an echo, and you can actually hear what he's saying. He's like, Hank, I'm getting a rope. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. And Hank just yells up, Boomhauer, with all this echo, I can't understand a word you're saying.
Let's see. I got a couple questions for us. We'll see where it goes. They might be too easy. We'll see. All right. So let's start off with this one. So we talked about the hecklers who play Jacob and Robert Marley. What are their real names? Like, what are their Muppet names?
Oh, God.
All right. So your options are A, Statler and Waldorf, B, Yolanda and Chip, C, Andy and Randy, or D, Gene and Fleet.
I believe it is Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
That was correct. That was too easy.
After hearing it, I was like, no, that's like it clicked. Like,
these are all, by the way, these are all real Muppet characters that have appeared.
Wait, what?
Yeah, all these people all the names I just listed are real Muppets that have appeared on the show or in movies or anything. So,
all right.
They aren't all duos, but they all have appeared. So when Rizzo is jumping off of the thing, he says he wants God to bless something of his. When he's jumping off at the top, like off the top of the gate, what did he ask? What did he want God to bless? A, his mangy tail, B, his frozen asset, C, his stylish hat, or D, his little broken body?
I think it's, what was the last one? Something broken body?
His little broken body.
I think it's little broken body.
That sounds right, but for the sake of it not being,
I mean, we can go to tie if you think that's it.
We do the mangy tail.
Are you sure? If you think that's it, you can go for it. We got a tiebreaker question.
It is only the second question.
It's up to you.
I feel like it was little broken body. Sounds right.
It is his little broken body. So I'm going to give you both the points since that's what you wanted. And question three is, what kind of factory does Fozziwig own in this movie? Is it a whoopee cushion factory, a hand buzzer factory, a rubber chicken factory, or a yo-yo factory?
I think it's rubber chicken.
I said rubber chicken as well.
Yeah, it is rubber chicken. You guys are too good. I thought I was going to get one of you with the whoopee cushion, if I'm being honest, but it is rubber chicken. Well, we'll do a final question. If you guys are still tied, we'll go to the tiebreaker. I think this is an easy one, too, but we'll try it anyway. So, in the Christmas yet to come, how many members of the Cratchit family are still alive? Is it A, 5, B, 4, C, 3, or D6?
Question for a friend.
Yeah.
Christmas yet to come would be present?
No, it's future.
Okay.
Christmas present is Christmas present. It's past, present, and yet to come. I don't think they actually say future.
Interesting.
Like in the novel, I think it's referenced as yet to come.
probably because you can change it.
Yeah.
The future is kind of inevitable.
Well, it was also written in 18 whatever. I don't know if they would have used
No, that's okay. I like my reasoning.
All right.
I think it's 5. Hopefully my math checks out.
Fuck me.
That's fine. The answer is 5, so you guys both got it.
I was going to say 5 with the caveat that they don't they not explicitly they heavily say imply what happens that he's with dead. Tiny Tim? Like, it just... They heavily imply it, but then at the end, Gonzo's like, Tiny Tim is fine, but that's like Christmas present, but it's not implied if that was going to be Christmas future or not.
He's alive because Scrooge changed his ways. Yeah.
Changed his ways.
It's implied because his... Well, because there's the it shows the shot of the chair with his hat and the cane on it.
Yeah, and they're like, Dad's been walking a little slower these days.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go to the tiebreaker question. You guys are too good at this trivia. So I looked on Wikipedia for the number of film adaptations of Christmas Carol. So I'd like you guys to give me a number on how many film adaptations Wikipedia has listed. For the number of Christmas Carol adaptations.
I'm going to go with a nice, cool 25.
16.
All right. So my math or my count, they didn't have like a number listed. So my count might be off by like 1 or 2. Dylan is the closest, but it's actually more. It is 32 that they list on Wikipedia.
Jeez.
They list 32. I mean, some of them are like short films and stuff, but... There are 32 listed film adaptations.
Oh, I was... Okay. I was thinking of, like, theatrical releases.
No, it's just... if you go to the film adaptation section and count them up, it's 32, including animated and live act.
I mean, hell, I saw there was 2 that came out this year.
Yeah.
That were adaptations. So.
2?
Yeah, there's this...
I know the Ryan Reynolds one.
There's an animated one on Netflix.
Yeah, there's like... Yep.
Apparently Olivia Colman's in it.
Oh.
So.
It's called like Scrooge.
Got a big name.
Colon something else.
Oh, hooray for Hollywood originality, right?
Well, none of us had seen this film. So you're going to get 3 fresh ratings. Cameron, let us know what you thought on The Muppet Christmas Carol. All
right. This might be a hot take, but this is one of my, I think it's one of my favorite Christmas movies I've seen. It's actually entertaining. It's not too long. It's mixes of funny and sad and heartwarming, which is a lot of what you want to get out of these types of things. And I like the Muppets. I have a soft spot for the Muppets. So I'm going to give it a 7.5. I think it's quite good. And it's probably one of the best, if not the best, Christmas Carol like adaptations I've seen.
Yeah, I was kind of between like a 5 and a 6. I'm going to give it a 6. I'm not a big Muppets person. I'm not, like, I don't know, the whole puppet interacting with real people thing is weird to me at times, but I do think it's really good. Like I said, I like the fact that it's short. It's something I feel like not this year while my son's still really, really too small to pay attention to things like that, but, like, when he's a little older, but still really young, is something you could turn on that could kill an hour and a half and still feel like he could enjoy it, and something that, like, I'm not going to hate watching if I'm watching it with him. So, yeah, I think it's a 6. I'm trying to think. Props to Michael Caine. He's phenomenal in it. He's great in everything, though. I think... This is one of the better adaptations. I don't know. I could just be skewed by the fact that I've seen the story at least 30-something times, according to Wikipedia, at least. So, you know, at that point, it's hard to watch a movie like that and be like, oh, God, what an original idea.
As you said earlier, like, the talent and work it takes to make all the puppet scenes just so seamless is insane. Like, I read that they like literally had made new techniques to use in this movie to make it more seamless and make the scenes they wanted to make. So it's just also technically good, as well as, you know, content and all that too.
I feel like I'm just gonna be echoing a lot here, but I really enjoyed this one. I know the last couple weeks we've talked about Christmas movies and the such, and I feel like the last couple times we've watched Christmas movies, there's nothing that I've really wanted to like add to the Christmas rotation where I was like, damn, I was missing this movie, I need this one again and again. But I feel like this one I will add. I think, like Ben said, you know, kid on the way, I think this will be a solid movie to show them fairly early on, where it's like, I can still enjoy it, they can enjoy it. And like Cam said, it's, you know, maybe the best Christmas Carol adaptation. Because at this point, like, what do we say, 32 different film adaptations? Like, yeah. Dog, I've seen this story told 8 ways from Sunday. It's old. Kind of over it. I don't love the story in its entirety. Like, literally the whole concept of the story is like, this dude sucks so much that he literally has to be scared into dying to change his ways. And it's like, all right, cool.
It's the Christmas version of Scared Straight.
Yeah, like, seriously. I mean, but this one is good. I definitely want to seek out the other Muppet movies now, and like, because there's a lot of them around the same kind of like seven to eight, like 6 to 7 range on IMDb. So I'm like, huh, are they all like as funny as this, or is it a lot of like nostalgia for people who grew up on Muppets and were just you know, living in their nostalgia world? But I really enjoyed this one. I'm gonna give it a 6.5, just because, like, don't love Christmas movies. Like, I still had to deal with the Christmas Carol, if I'm being honest. But I do think the Muppets and Michael Caine really made it a little bit more palatable for me. I do recommend it. If you have not seen it, check it out on Disney Plus. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. Hit up the Drizzling Casker links and see the recipe for the Red Christmas cocktail. Leave us a rating. Really helps us out. Share us with your friends and family. And as always, watch responsibly.